First Thessalonians chapter 5. And our text for today is the verse 15. Verse 15, last Sabbath morning, we considered verse 14. And there we saw a picture of the compassionate Christian. Now when we come to verse 15, we have described for us the consistent Christian. Paul says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow both among yourselves and to all men." There's the picture of the consistent Christian. The one who does not render evil for evil, but instead follows that which is good both among ourselves and toward all men. In the first part of this verse, verse 15, Paul states what a Christian ought not to do. There Paul speaks in the negative. But then in the second half of the verse, Paul deals with what the Christian ought to do. That's the positive. It is not very encouraging to the heart or edifying to the soul if a Christian is continually told about the wrong that he or she is doing without being given a remedy. You see, the Bible, Paul tells us, is a two-edged sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is a sword with two edges. And quite plainly, the Word of God has those two edges. The one edge does the cutting, but the other edge does the healing. And so when the Lord brings us and gives us a word that perhaps rebukes us or cuts us or chastises us, the Lord doesn't leave us with an open wound. But rather the Lord will give us an answer. And he will bind up that wound again with a word from himself. Hosea chapter 6 verse 1 gives us a perfect example of that. Hosea 6 verse 1, the prophet says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal." There's the two edges. "He hath smitten and he will bind us up." Once again, the two edges of the sword of the Word of God. The Lord hath torn, and at times the Lord will do that through his Word. But if he has torn us, he at the same time will heal us. And when he has smitten us, he will also bind us up. He'll never us with an open wound. Paul follows the same pattern here in our text, showing how a Christian ought not live. And he tells us he ought to live. He doesn't leave the open wound. He doesn't leave us with negative thoughts, but rather gives us positive truth to encourage us. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But, in contrast, ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So what we have here in this verse 15 is, first of all, a warning for all Christians. Warning. What is the warning? See that none render evil for evil unto man. You don't render evil for evil. That's the warning. And wherever evil is to be found, then a word of warning needs to be sounded out. We need to avoid evil at all cost. The Christian who wants to be consistent in his walk with God will be like Job. For it is written of Job that Job eschewed evil. Word means turned away from evil. And with regard to what Paul says here, we also must turn away from evil if we want to be consistent in our walk with God and consistent in our walk in this world as Christians. The warning, first of all, applies to the saints. This is a word for the saints. Paul says to the saints, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. The meaning here is, we are not to take vengeance on anyone whom we feel has wronged us, whom we feel has done some evil against us. If someone has done some evil against us, we are not then to do evil to them. We are to eschew evil. That's what Paul is saying. He says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. The apostle states what may have been done to us may be evil. But we as Christians are not to commit the same evil in return. When we look at the word evil, as we have it here, when we look at the word evil, we see how it is translated. The same word is translated elsewhere in the New Testament. Here is a list of how this word is translated elsewhere. It is the Greek word kakos or kaon. And it is elsewhere translated bad, wicked, grievous, miserable, harm, hurt, and vex. So when you look at the word evil as it is translated here and elsewhere, we as Christians surely do not want any part of that which is bad or wicked or grievous or miserable or harmful or hurtful or vexing. None of these words should ever be used to describe the conduct or the attitude of a Christian. Such evil is not even to be in the thoughts of the Christian. We know that from the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Regarding charity, we read verse 4, charity suffereth long, is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And so this evil that Paul speaks about is not even to be in the thoughts, in the mind of the Christian, neither is it to be upon the tongue of the Christian. James 3 verse 8 tells us, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And we read in 1 Peter 3. In 1 Peter 3 and there in the verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. When we feel we have been wronged by someone, we all know that it's then the tongue can sort of break loose. When we feel we have been wronged by someone and they have committed some evil deed against us, evil thoughts arise in our minds. And we may immediately think, I'm going to get that person back for that. But that's not the way of the Christian. There's a word to the saints, there's warning. Then this word also has to do with separation. I'm sure we would all agree that the Christian is to live a separated life, which includes, of course, separation from all that is evil. We're in the world, but we're not off the world. We're not to live and behave as the world lives and behaves. We're not to be like the world. We are to be like Christ. That's why we read this morning 1 Peter 2. Because we're told in verse 21 of 1 Peter 2, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Not the steps of the worldling. Follow his steps. And we have just read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 11 regarding the believer, Peter says, let him eschew evil. As we pointed out, the word eschew means to turn away from. The ungodly are ready to embrace the opportunity to exact vengeance upon the one whom they feel has done some wrong to them. That's the way of the world. The Christian, according to Peter, is to turn away from such an attitude. And the same word is used by Paul, Romans 16 and verse 17. For in Romans 16 and verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Same word, avoid. Eschew. Avoid evil. Avoid evil. evil, eschew evil, turn away from evil. We're to avoid those things that the scriptures describe as being evil. We believe in separation. We believe in, like Paul, being separated unto the gospel. We believe in separation from false doctrine, separation from false teachers, separation from apostasy, a falling away from the truth. We're to separate from such things. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So Paul is warning the saints to be sure to separate from all that is evil, including an evil attitude and an evil behavior in relation to others. Romans 12, verse 17. We are told, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Recompense no evil for evil. If something evil has been done to us, we don't do the same thing back again. We don't partake of the same evil. Evil is what is in the world. It's not in the world of the Christian. Paul told the Galatians, Galatians 1, verse 4, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. We are delivered from the evil of the world, the ways of the world, the attitude of the world, the behavior of the world, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That's what Paul is saying. Render not evil for evil to any man. So Paul's word is to the saints. Paul's word is about separation. And then Paul's word would remind us of the Savior. Because you see, the Lord Jesus had something to say on the same subject. The Lord Jesus spoke about this matter. And we have, first of all, the Savior's exhortation. The Lord Jesus, ministering to his disciples, exhorted them to eschew evil, whatever form it came in. For he taught them to pray. Luke 11, verse 4. Every child in the Sabbath school knows these words. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord is saying to his disciples, this is how you ought to pray. You ought to pray, lead us not into temptation. Don't let me be led into temptation, but Lord, deliver me from evil. Evil thoughts, evil talk, evil conversation, evil behavior, evil attitude. Deliver me from rending. Evil. Evil. So when we are tempted to render evil for evil, the Lord says, then pray, deliver us from evil. The word deliver is an interesting word. You turn with me, please, to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And now we're at the cross. Matthew 27. The Lord is hanging upon the center tree. The crowd is gathered around him and they're mocking him. And we read in verse 42, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Verse 43, he trusted in God, let him deliver him. Same word. Deliver us from evil. He trusted in God, let him deliver him. Now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The word deliver is the same word in both references, and the word means rescue. And so you can see what the crowd, the mob was saying. He trusted in God, let God rescue him now. And the Lord, whenever he taught his disciples to pray, he was saying to them, you need to pray, lead us not into temptation, but rescue me from evil. May the Lord rescue us from rending evil for evil. And how we sorely need the Lord's constant care of us. We know that in every aspect of our lives. But have we thought of it in this context? Lord, rescue me from rending evil for evil. So there's the Savior's exhortation. Then we have the Savior's example. We have read this morning 1 Peter chapter 2. We noted there those words that the Lord Jesus suffered great evil against him. Terrible things were said about the Lord and terrible things were done to the Lord. But we read then in verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called. We're called to suffer. We're called to have evil things done to us. We're Christians. We're not of the world. We're called to suffer for the Lord. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. What example did he set us? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. We noted that this morning in our Bible class. We noted in the first three verses, in verse 1, why do the heathen rage? Why? You ask the question, why? Why do the heathen rage against the Lord and his Son and against his word? Pilate asked the same question. Whenever Christ stood before him, Pilate said, what shall I do now with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they cried out, crucify him. And Pilate then said, why? What evil hath he done? And they couldn't give him an answer. Because they knew there was no evil in Christ at all. We've just read, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. and yet evil was rendered unto him. Did he render evil in return? Verse 23 of 1 Peter 2. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. What did the Lord do? The Lord left the matter with God. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. You know that song, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Well, yes, he could have done that, but that song's not strictly true. Yes, he could have called 10,000 angels because the host of heaven would have obeyed him. But listen, the Lord didn't need 10,000 angels to destroy the world. He didn't need 10,000 angels to destroy those who had crucified him and were saying all manner of evil against him falsely. He didn't need 10,000 angels. He could have caused the earth to open up and swallow every one of them, but he didn't. When he suffered, he threatened not. He sets us an example. He did not render evil for evil. As the apostle in his words here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15 not saying the same thing? Is he not setting out before us the example that Christ has given us? Render not evil for evil. And when his enemies examined his life, that is the life of Christ, when they examined his life, they could not find anything whereby they might accuse him. Even the Lord said, the devil has nothing in me. And he said in John 18 and verse 23, if I have spoken evil, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? The Lord Jesus had never spoken evil. Even in the most difficult circumstances, even when they called him names and said he was a wine bibber, said he was Beelzebub, the prince of devils. What did the Lord say in return? Nothing. Nothing. He rendered not evil for evil. What a wonderful example we have in Christ. As well as the warning for Christians, we have the way for all Christians. The way. Paul says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow. Here's the way for all Christian. But follow that which is good. having spoken to the believers what they ought not to do, now he tells them what they should do. What should they do? Follow that which is good. Regarding this way for all Christian, it is first of all a revealed way. The apostle here reveals to the Christians the way in which they ought to go and how they ought to live. You'll notice it's the very opposite of what he said in the first part of the verse. First part of the verse he deals with evil. Second part of the verse he deals with good. Avoid that which is evil. Do that which is good. It's basically what the apostle is saying. The Lord spoke about the people of Israel one time through his prophet Jeremiah, who were more accustomed to doing evil than doing good. But we read in Jeremiah 4, Jeremiah 4, there we read verse 22. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. That's the way of the world. And yet the Lord here is speaking about his people. Oh, they're wise enough. They're alert enough to do evil. But when it came to doing good, they were ignorant. They had no knowledge. Paul tells us here, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. That's what the Savior taught his disciples. Matthew 5, part of the great Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 and verse 44. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Isn't that what the Lord did? You think of what the Savior did, or what the people did to the Savior as he hung on the cross, and yet from the cross he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed for them who despitefully used him and persecuted him. Galatians 6, verse 10, apostle told the Galatian church, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially to our fellow believers, the household of faith. Do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Mark the words, as we have opportunity, let us do good. opportunity. And you think back again to the ministry of Christ. And the dear Savior took every opportunity to do good. Isn't that what Luke tells us in Acts 10, verse 38? The Lord Jesus went about doing good. It's the revealed way. It's the right way. Perhaps some may think getting their own back on someone who has wronged them is the right way. The Lord's way will always be the right way, and He has shown us by example the right way. But if we have been unjustly dealt with by someone, then let's do what the Lord did. He left the judgment of the situation with His Heavenly Father. It may be right at times to defend our lives, to defend our property, reputation. But in case, should the motive be to do them wrong because of the evil they have done to us? Romans 12. Again, the words of the apostle. In Romans 12 and verse 17. The apostle says in verse 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, but not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." It's plain enough, isn't it? You look at Paul in his last letter to Timothy. He's in prison. He's about to die a martyr's death. He's about to receive a martyr's crown. "Henceforth it is laid up for me a crown that the righteous judge shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." And Paul says this, verse 14, 2 Timothy 4, verse 14, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil." What did Paul do? "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." In other words, Paul left the matter with the Lord. The Lord will take care of Alexander the coppersmith. I'll just go on about doing my work and doing the work of God. Move on quickly and see it's a rewarded way. It's a revealed way. It's the right way. It's a rewarded way. When we follow that which is good, the Lord will reward us. The word "follow" there is a word that means to pursue or to follow earnestly. We don't just follow on to do good works because it's merely our duty, because it's just what is expected of a Christian. No, We follow on earnestly. Why? Because we want to. We want to please the Lord. We want to magnify the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. We can only expect the Lord's blessing when we earnestly pursue that which is good. And such an earnest pursuit, the Lord will bless. Hebrews 13, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Is that what we want to do? As Christians, don't we want to please God? Again, go forward to Timothy or to Peter. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. The Lord will bless us if we do not render evil for evil. The Lord will bless us. That's what Peter's saying. Contrarywise, if we do render evil for evil, we needn't expect God's blessing. Now in the last place, you have the witness for all Christians. Because Paul said, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever is good, both among yourselves and to all men. A witness among ourselves, among our fellow believers, all men, those outside our church family. And this witness is a sign of grace in the life of the Christian. It's a sign, it's an evidence of grace. The natural man wants to render evil for evil. But the grace of God in a man eschews evil and wants to do good. And what the Lord has exhorted us to do takes grace. You're back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 and verse 39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. The Lord is just saying, don't be rendering evil for evil. That takes grace, doesn't it? It's a sign, it's an evidence of grace. And Paul tells us we're to overcome evil with good. It's a sign of grace. I'll tell you something else. It's a sign of godliness. It's a witness to one and all. The person who does not render evil for evil, that's a godly person. Sign of just how spiritual that Christian is. And of course, the Christian is to strive after a spiritual and a godly life. We know that from the words of Titus, and with this I'll close. Paul, in writing to Titus, he had this to say in 2nd chapter of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. So Paul's dealing with here the consistent Christian. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Father and eternal and gracious God, we pray earnestly thou would write this word upon the fleshly tables of our heart. O Lord, give us the grace that is needed when such occasions arise. Give us grace. And may there be that evidence of godliness in our lives. And may it be a witness, Lord, to all around us. Lord, may we strive after godliness and holiness of life. And not allow the devil to get in on us. Save us, Lord, from rending evil for evil. But may we ever earnestly pursue, follow that which is good. And our God is good all the time. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts. Again, Lord, for those who still are out of Christ, and held by many a snare, we can't leave them lost and lone. We want them over there. Lord, answer prayer and save the lost. Be with us, Lord, through this, and be upon us, Lord, as we travel. And in thy will return us to worship thee again. Now may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.